Slavery today and setting the captives free. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. This is the Word of God. It is remarkable how much discussion and debate and media attention is still given to the old slavery, which was exposed and opposed by Christians such as Member of Parliament, Evangelical William Wilberforce, over 200 years ago. And how little attention is given to the much worse, much more pervasive, much longer, with much greater numbers enslaved by the Muslim slave trade, which is actually still continuing to this day, but which was primarily exposed by Dr. David Livingstone and others in the 19th century. But it is absolutely scandalous that so little attention or concern is given to the ongoing Islamic slave trade continuing today, especially in North Africa and the Middle East. Even more outrageous is the virtual silence over the worst slavery in history, which is prevalent today, which is pervasive today, which is pervasive throughout the whole world, human trafficking and the sexual slavery industry, which is colossal. And yet, if you want an example of the hypocrisy and the cowardice of our age, you just need to look at the silence of the media, of the UN, of the governments, and even of the cowardly silence of so many churches, most churches, over this, the biggest and worst slavery in the history of the world. Freedom is a fruit of Christianity. The abolition of slavery was a fruit of Christianity. However, those who believe that the days of slavery are over are mistaken, horribly mistaken, deceived. As Christians have retreated from social and political arenas, teaching, we're living in the last days, don't get involved in politics, don't get involved in social issues, why rearrange deck chairs in a Titanic, why hang up wallpaper in a burning building, these are the last days, this is the last hour, we're in the last minutes, the prophetic clock is right there at 1 minute to midnight and all the rest of it. A lot of Christians have justified silence, cowardice, apathy and complicity in the worst slavery and the worst sins and evils in the history of mankind. As Christians have retreated from being salt and light in society and from making disciples and teaching obedience to all things they've commanded, we're talking about the post-Christian era. Personally, I think we're in the pre-Christian era. We are seeing a resurgence of all these evils as Christians retreat from being salt and light and being a positive influence in society. We are seeing a resurgence of every kind of evil that the church in the 19th century opposed, exposed, and defeated. Yet the Church of Christ is not yet awakened and mobilized to expose and oppose the prevalent and pervasive evils of prostitution, perversion, and paedophilia, which is probably worse now than any time since the ancient Greek empires. Those who reject Christianity will in time embrace every vice outlawed by Christianity. So we are seeing in this time of apostasy a resurgence of legalized child killing through abortion. Isn't it incredible that you have today feminists who are totally silent about the 42 million people enslaved today? But they rejoice in the fact that they're able to legally kill their babies. Women today are less respected, less protected, more likely to be divorced, more likely to be abused, more likely to be murdered and raped than ever before in history, and enslaved. And yet, they rejoice in the fact that they at least are now able to kill their babies legally and work in the mines and enter boxing and other things which I don't think most women in history ever thought was important or necessary. And yet they want to be silent about the greatest abuse of women around. Quite aside from the fact that more than half of all babies killed by abortion are women. So what about equal rights for unborn women? So what we are seeing in this day and age is a resurgence of child killing through abortion, the resurgence of the killing of the aged and infirm through euthanasia, the legalization of adultery, the legalization of polygamy, the legalization of perversion, in fact, not just in the back alleys, but paraded down Main Street now. The legalization of prostitution, effectively, because they don't prosecute it in this country, even though it's still technically on the books, even though we've had a lot of people trying to legalize it. And we've got a massive resurgence of paedophilia and of human trafficking, worse than any time in the last two centuries. There are a number of films, both documentaries and dramas, which dramatize this. Taken shockingly exposes the kidnapping, human trafficking and slavery that's going on at this moment. That's the mainstream film which documents something, which dramatizes something which is really real, kidnapping for the sex trade. But then there's The Whistleblower, which is based on the true story of policewoman Catherine Bolkovar from Nebraska, who went to work with the United Nations in Bosnia. And she thought her job as a policewoman was to protect women. She thought. She was wrong. She rescued two girls from Moldova, which used to be part of Romania, but is part of the old Soviet Union. The Soviet Union stole it at the end of the Second World War, rather it was given to them by the Yalta Agreement. But Moldova is one of the worst human trafficked areas in Eastern Europe. They estimate that something like 10% of the entire population of Moldova have been human trafficked. Because the economy is so distraught because of the old Soviet economics of socialism, many of them have been open to being exploited for jobs overseas or even being trafficked by their own relatives, can you believe? And so she rescued two of these girls in Bosnia who were kidnapped, lured, tricked, trapped, and being used for sexual slavery in Bosnia. She rescued them and put them in the witness protection program of the United Nations police in Bosnia, who immediately handed those girls back to the very pimps who tortured them to death. She, of course, protested this, went to the head of the mission. They all threatened her to shut up. She went to the General Secretary of the United Nations, who basically put a price on her head. And she's now living in witness protection program in Great Britain, not able to return to the United States out of fear that her life is threatened because she blew the whistle on the United Nations involvement in human trafficking. Now, you may think, how could the General Secretary of the UN be involved in human trafficking? Well, in fact, the entire United Nations is run by human traffickers. 161 member nations of the United Nations are involved in human trafficking. Not just the countries, the governments. 161 member states of the United Nations are involved in human trafficking. Now, you can get a lot of shocking facts under Free the Slaves, I think it's freetheslaves.net, which tells you that human trafficking today is a $150 billion industry. At least, $150 billion, that's billion with a B, and that's not Zimbabwe dollars, that's US dollars, $150 billion a year industry. They estimate, in fact, when the film was made, we're talking about a whistleblower, there were 27 million slaves in the world. Today, they estimate there's 41 million slaves in the world today. That's according to freetheslaves.net. The average cost of a slave today is $90. Now, a slave back in the days of the, if you went back over 200 years, the days when William Wilberforce was fighting it, the cost of a slave then, converted to present-day money allowing for inflation, was about $40,000 a slave. That was the cost of a slave then. The cost of slaves today has never been cheaper. They are completely disposable. Life is so cheap that when a slave today, and we're talking about sexual slaves, kidnapped, lured, and so on, even trafficked by their own relatives, when they get sick or injured, they just get killed. It's cheaper to replace them. Why would they spend any money on medical for any of their slaves? They can just replace them. It's so easy. It's never been easier. Because of the huge amount of migrants, migrants provide a vast amount of vulnerable people to be tricked and trafficked. Because of the huge amount of runaways and throwaways. Some of the biggest areas where they're recruiting slaves today is in the foster children industry. Foster children, many of them are adopted by those who immediately traffic them. And so the corrupt governments, corrupt police forces, complicit governments have made slavery today huge. We're talking about vast, vast, vast numbers. Now, the whistleblower of Catherine Bolkovac, who exposed that the United Nations was not just covering up for it, the United Nations was involved in running the human trafficking industry. UN organization we're talking about. And she did the whistleblowing all the way up, not just to head the mission in Bosnia, but right to the head, the General Secretary of UN himself involved. She knows because she appealed directly to him, and next thing hitmen were coming after her, and she got no protection from them. And the British Court of Justice agreed that she was in danger of her life. She had to change her name, change everything, hide in England under protection there because she wouldn't be safe to return back to her home country of America. They would kill her for exposing it. Now, that's Catherine Bolkovac's story. It's a book. It's a dramatized film, but unfortunately, it's true. And then there's another film that came out, Nefarious. Now, I think Whistleblower came out in 2011, and Nefarious came out in 2011. Nefarious is a shocking indictment and expose of human trafficking today, of slavery today. We've got the Nefarious film here. We've got it in both the shop and in the library. And we've shown it at a Reformation site today. Made in 2011, Nefarious, Merchant of Souls. It's a Christian documentary of slavery today and of the trafficking industry. But most importantly, it gives practical, positive examples of how slaves can be set free, how we can work against it, how we can fight it. And it gives testimonies of people who came out of it, including ex-pimps, ex-prostitutes, and ex-customers of the sex industry who would travel to places like Thailand. Nefarious, which was produced by Exodus Cry, a Christian ministry designed and founded specifically to rescue people out of this industry. They show that in Asia, most of the slaves in the sex industry in Asia are groomed and sold by their own parents. And not the poorest. It's often those who want luxury goods and so on. And so that the complicity of parents who literally groom their children to be prostitutes to make their country rich, to make their family rich, is the driving force of, for example, Thailand and Cambodia industry. It's absolute evil. And you wonder, where is the outrage? Where are the Christians today speaking out against this? Why is it that they all want to talk about the slavery that ended 200 years ago and they don't want to talk about the slavery that's going on today in our own city? This isn't just something that we're talking about in Thailand. It's happening here too. 25% of the slaves today are children. 25%. It's so staggering. Just to give a few local examples. At a Christians for Truth conference, Doctors for Life presented a major paper exposing human slavery and prostitution today in South Africa. Doctors for Life reported human trafficking has become the third largest industry, international criminal industry, after drug trafficking and arms industry. And so human trafficking today, or slavery today, is the third largest criminal industry in the world, after drugs and arms. According to the United States Department, or United States State Department, approximately 800,000 people are trafficked internationally every year. This excludes trafficking within countries, but 80% of these victims are women and girls, and as many as 50% are children. Make no mistake, a lot of slaves, boys, are trafficked for the homosexual pedophilia industry, 20%. The majority of female victims are trafficked for sexual exploitation, and the majority of boys trafficked are also for sexual exploitation, although they form only about 20% of the victims. There's a very strong link between prostitution, pornography, and the human trafficking slavery industry. Human trafficking and pornography and prostitution all feed one another. It's all one big industry, actually, when you get down to it. You could say the pornography industry is advertising and grooming for prostitution, which feeds the human trafficking industry to provide more of the slaves needed for the industry. The Doctors for Life report included the testimony of one girl from Eastern Europe who was lured across the border in response to a job offer for a modeling career. She is kidnapped, gang raped, addicted to drugs, enslaved to a life of prostitution, which prematurely aged her so much that she died within 4 years of a drug overdose. Now, this is a South African example. These slaves mostly come from Russia, Romania, Moldova, and so on. Moldova. They bring them in. In fact, we've met some of them here. Taryn has encountered and tried to speak to them, but they were under control of their pimps, so that they were prevented from speaking to the House of Rasputin. It's a Cape Town-based prostitution industry where they bring in, they like bringing in people from foreign countries who can't speak the language. So they can't ask for help or anything like this. They take away their passports immediately they come into the country. They warn them that they've come into the country illegally and they're going to be arrested if they go to the police anyway for being illegal. And, of course, they're told that everything they earn is actually owed because they've got to pay back for their airfares and everything else, and then their accommodation. Basically, it works out that they never get enough. Next thing, they give them drugs. And, well, we've got to deduct this and you pay for the drugs. And it works out in the end that they're just slaves. This came to court in Cape Town. In fact, one of the people being prosecuted by a vice squad under J.P. Smith, he set up the Metro vice squad. We used to have a vice squad in the South African Police, but the South African Police Service abolished all these groups like the vice squad. And I think Cape Town is about the only Metro Police in the country having a vice squad. There's no longer a vice squad focused on trying to deal with this within the South African Police Service, because we had criminals involved with the gangsters like Celebi running the police. They got rid of every single group that could actually do something about it. But in Cape Town, we still have a vice squad. And one of the people who were prosecuting got ventilated by, his car was riddled with machine gun fire, probably by another rival gang. But it's probably also been to silence him from making a deal with the police in order to cover himself by exposing others in the industry. But it's in Cape Town. We've got these gangs. Mavericks has been implicated in human trafficking as well. They're the ones who fly their planes around with their big banners advertising openly over the city. And Mavericks' biggest place, as far as I know, is right next to the main police station in downtown Cape Town, within a stone's throw from Parliament. And literally, the police station, when we've gone to demonstrate outside against human trafficking, Mavericks and the police station are literally facing one another on opposite sides of the street. So the police can look down from their top floor on the slaves who are sunbathing by the pool on the top roof of Maverick's building. That's how close it is. And when we've spoken to them about it, the Maverick's people have said, oh, the police are some of our best customers. In fact, parliamentarians are our main customers. And when Parliament was being discussing the possibility of moving from Cape Town up to the Gauteng area, the prostitutes marched to Parliament and protested that they would lose their main customers if Parliament moves from Cape Town. That's how bad it is. Incredibly, in 2007, the then National Police Commissioner and head of Interpol, Jackie Celebi, recommended to Parliament that prostitution be legalised in time for the 2010 World Cup soccer. I thought it was about soccer, but apparently it's about prostitution. In 2008, ANC Parliament George Legetso recommended prostitution be legalised in South Africa. At the same time, Durban Municipality announced they want to create red light districts for the sex industry. Later, head of Interpol National Police Commissioner Jackie Celebi was removed from office when his extensive links with organised crime was exposed. You cannot prosecute pimps and the human traffickers easily if prostitution is legalised. Prostitution and human trafficking are totally and utterly linked. They're inseparable. Siamese twins. Doctors for Life International sent out press statements saying that Doctors for Life was appalled by the fact that South Africa would continue rolling out the welcome mat for organised crime syndicates who trade in human lives, exploiting the poor and the desperate by forcing them into this new slavery. Doctors for Life reported that approximately 40,000 women and children were trafficked into Germany for prostitution during the previous World Cup soccer by Middle Eastern pimps. The same could be expected for South Africa if it had been legalized here. Well, of course, we still have these syndicates working in the country, but at least they can technically still be prosecuted, as is proved in Cape Town. And these drug dealers and human traffickers, these slave traders, line their pockets during these major events, and they won't go away at the end of the World Cup soccer, obviously. Prostitution is an act of violence. It's intrinsically harmful. It's traumatizing to people involved. Improving the circumstances in which the slaves work doesn't reduce the harm done. The idea of legalizing a vice is the wrong way to go. In South Africa, the cry for help was echoed in a survey done amongst 475 of what they called sex workers. When asked, what do you need, 89% responded to leave, to be able to escape. And Doctors for Life did the survey. In fact, Doctors for Life has got a 24-hour helpline, and they've got an office right down in the point in Durban, in the middle of the worst of this, which is going on, where they organize helping them to escape, and they have rehabilitated many. I've met many who've escaped through Doctors for Life's work in Durban, and we've been working amongst them. In fact, I was invited by Uncle Erlo to organize back in 1995, was it, or 96, a Christian Action workshop at CrossBunty on how to reach out to the people in this industry. And it was quite an interesting episode because I took them all downtown to the point and to West Street to these different so-called escort agencies, which were nothing but a cover for human traffic victims and for these slaves. And I placed the volunteers from CrossBunty around there to sing hymns, to take photographs, and to hand out gospel literature and evangelize outside then. And of course, it totally frustrated the plans of these people because while they want to claim there's nothing wrong with it and so on, somehow the customers, when they see people outside and hear the hymns and people taking cameras, they all suddenly drive off to the next one. We saw these combi loads arrive of soccer supporters. They'd stop outside one, see all this, move on to the next one, but we knew our people at the next one too, and at the next, and at the next. And so at one point, Uncle Erlo gave me his oldest daughter, Helga, to come with, and said he wanted her to be, she was only a teenager then, to understand what's going on out there. So I felt very responsible for Erlo Stevens' daughter, and I made sure I was standing right next to the protector. Well, she was taking pictures, and of course this really made the pimps furious. And a pimp came striding out, a massive Russian man, big chap. He came striding straight towards Hilda, and he was obviously going for a camera. So I immediately took a camera, stood in front of him, and put the camera under me. He picked me up off my feet like I was nothing and threw me over the park cross into West Street, which is a one-way racetrack. And I was rolling in the road there, trying to protect the camera from getting damaged, while cars were swerving and hooting and screeching tires to get around me. Well, I found out that later that week, that very same pimp who had thrown me was shot dead with his own Tokarev by one of his slaves in that very same place that we were standing outside. I think it was Galaxy. And interesting, I didn't hear that till much later, but that's how it was going on. At some of these places, the things we saw and heard were staggering. And some of the people high up in the several floors up were shouting down, asking for help. We asked for the police's help. I've jumped ahead of myself. That first day, I took them out and I placed these volunteers from CrossBunty to pray and protest and do sidewalk counseling. I went all the way through to West Street, and then I came back to those in through to the point. I came back to West Street to see how they were going, and I saw all of our volunteers were gone. I was disappointed that they'd given up so early. I mean, they couldn't have been there more than 40 minutes, and I thought, that's disappointing. Well, anyway, next, that was Saturday night. Sunday morning, I'm sitting in the auditorium at CrossBunty for the morning service, and somebody runs up to me and says, did you hear that Auntie so-and-so and Uncle so-and-so and Auntie so-and-so and Uncle so-and-so have been arrested and spent the night in prison? These are people that I'd left outside Galaxy and other places for outreach. They'd been locked up. No wonder they'd disappeared. Now, then I heard ominously, Uncle Erlo wants to see you right now. And I thought, oh my. And I went there, and Uncle Erlo was blood red furious. Fortunately, not at me. He wanted to declare war on these brothels. And so he gave me whole busloads of people, and we went for the next weeks and months. And they had no peace morning, noon, night. He laid a charge against the Minister of Police for wrongful arrest. It turned and won that, and the police had to pay massive settlement to cross the mountain for daring to arrest the people for no good reason. And it turned out that an Indian policeman, I think he was a warrant officer, who is a relative of and bought out by one of the pimps at these places, had been phoned to come and arrest these Christians who were interfering with their business. And without any due process, without any reasonable cause, without going through a magistrate's on, he locked up these law-abiding tannies and worms and tossed them into jail overnight with drug dealers and criminals. Shocking abuse. And that was the beginning of Kwasibantu's war on these brothels. Well, we closed down those brothels. But it was shortly after that that I had this experience of this Russian pimp throwing me head over heels into the street. Well, after we came down to Cape Town, we went to Sea Point, and we started standing outside these brothels and making a stand Sea Point. Well, in one, a pimp came outside without any warning. He took a bucket full of alcohol and viler liquids and tossed it over my head, head to toe. Stinking, filthy, you can imagine coming home at 2 in the morning, explaining to your wife that you get the brothel, smelling like that. And that's the kind of battle we were dealing with, fighting these characters. And it was vicious as anything. You could just see it was organized crime. And at the end of this battle, many of those places were closed. In fact, we fought outside many of these Sea Point places until they were shut. They were operating on the main street. They were so blatant. But it's hard for them to operate if the church is active. Now, we know, for example, one dear old auntie, she would take her German Shepherd dog and stand outside some of these roads where they, like the main roads running through Kenilworth and Claremont, where many prostitutes would stand and look for people who'd stop in the car and pick them up and so on. And she'd walk up to these girls, obviously dressed like prostitutes, and say, "Oh, dear, you shouldn't be out here alone. It's dangerous. Let me just stand with you until you get your lift or so on." And, of course, they couldn't get any customers. Well, there's some auntie there with her killer dog. And so there's different ways to undermine or make them move away from your area. But they managed to operate because most churches are silent, apathetic, and inactive. And if the churches won't make a stand and be salt and light in their communities, then these things really get out of control. Well, Member of Parliament Sherilyn Dudley was to be commended for having the courage to actually call this trafficking what it is, slavery, in Parliament. Parliament can't say they haven't had this brought to their attention. She said, "The report funded by the United States Agency for International Development claims that crime syndicates of human traffickers, slave traders, are increasing operations in South Africa. Organizations involved in investigating cases and providing therapy for victims say that human trafficking, or sex slavery, is rife, especially in the Eastern Cape, Old Transkei. Human rights activists said they feared that things would escalate with the World Cup 2010 being hosted in our country. We urge the government to beef up dedicated police units to close down human trafficking operators who are known." I mean, Doctors for Life knows exactly who they are. I knew where they were. I knew where they were in Sea Point. I knew where they were in Hillbrow, and knew where they were in West Street and in the Point. It was no secret to us, so how could the police not know? In fact, the police were protecting them and locking up people who were trying to protest them. "More must be done to educate South Africans to the dangers of being lured by promise of work only to find themselves abducted and captive and drugged by modern-day slave traders." Well, this is what we are fighting. I've exposed the slave trade continuing in Sudan and Faith Undefined Sudan and in the films like Sudan, the Hidden Holocaust, Terrorism, Persecution. Muslims are enslaving people today. Some people know that. Most would prefer to close their eyes and their ears to the slavery that's going on in our neighborhoods, in our city. And so Mende Nazir is someone who was, as a teenager, kidnapped from the Nuba Mountains by Mujahideen. She is enslaved to a family in Khartoum. Later, when her owners traveled to work in London at the Sudan embassy, they had the audacity to take their slaves with them, including Mende Nazir. Now, she knew enough to know that slavery is illegal in England. It's a Christian country. She fled, got diplomatic immunity and protection. And she is protected in England to this day. And she wrote the book Slave, My True Story, published in 2003. That's pretty recent. She was kidnapped in 1992, though. Just imagine audacity that we've got actual embassies with slaves in them. In fact, I know that slavery is going on in Cape Town. I've seen it with my own eyes. There are Muslim families who have slaves, and it's going on right here. And of course, when you consider how Red China outbids everyone else when it comes to cheap things, especially children's toys. Most children's toys today in the world are made in China by slave labor. Virtually everything that Disney and McDonald's provides in terms of toys are made by slave labor in China. And the amount of people who outraged that people 200 years ago tolerated slavery, when the people 200 years ago weren't tolerating slavery, they were fighting against it. You had missionaries like William Carey who would not imbibe sugar. He would not take sugar with his tea or anything because sugar was produced by slave traders with slave plantations for example, Jamaica and Cuba. And so he would not have sugar. And so you had Christians boycotting these things at that time because they recognized the immorality of using slave labor. Yet how many Christians are concerned about China's slave trade and the fact that the vast majority of goods produced in China are used with slave labor? And many of them, millions of them, are Christians. Christian slaves don't get remunerated for the work. No wonder China can undercut everyone else with their products, because they don't pay their workers. But what we are seeing today is worse than that. How many people watch films that are produced by low-life rapist paedophiles like Harvey Weinstein? Just about every major film out there that dominated our landscape in recent years has been made by Harvey Weinstein. Just think the Mandela Long Walk to Freedom film. What's the first thing you see on the screen? A Weinstein production. Harvey Weinstein produced the most defiling films promoting everything from communism, pedophilia, child abuse, you can name it. Just think of even a film like Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones. It starts with promoting of pedophilia. Now, we didn't notice it at the time, but it's been exposed since. Steven Spielberg, and it's now totally, it's not just in the realm of assumption, it's now proven. He made that film, Raiders of the Lost Ark, at the very moment that his best friend, Polanski, Roman Polanski, had fled America because he was wanted for pedophilia, for drugging and raping, was the 12-year-old. And he was, and he's still away from America because if he comes back, he'll be arrested for this. It was a proven case of child abuse. And hundreds of Hollywood stars, including people like Harrison Ford, have signed petitions for Roman Polanski to be pardoned and to be allowed back into America. At that very moment that Roman Polanski was fleeing pedophilia charges for drugging and raping a 12-year-old, at that very moment, Steven Spielberg makes a film where the first words really spoken by the character for Harrison Ford's playing of Indiana Jones, as he walks into this Nepal bar, this young girl there, who at that moment was 23, said, "I wondered when you'd walk through my door again." It was 10 years ago. And he says, "You knew what you're doing." She says, "I was a child." Now, why did they put that in to this family film type of Raiders of the Lost Ark? He was promoting paedophilia subtly as a push for his friend Roman Polanski to be pardoned for this crime, which any Christian country's got laws against paedophilia. Anti-Christian countries don't. In a Muslim country, you can marry someone as young as 6 years old. Under Hinduism, you can marry someone as young as 4 years old. Literally, that's Hinduism, that's Islam. Christianity has always been against paedophilia. And so Steven Spielberg promoted that. Well, we've got organized crime, government corruption, greed, lust, and the cowardice of Christians and the hypocrisy of the left are making this outrageous slave industry possible. Most Christians have been deceived and distracted into silence, into apathy, and therefore into complicity, because silence is consent, in this colossal crime of slavery and abuse today. It is a disgraceful silence. Today we've got Jeffrey Epstein's scandalous paedophilia being exposed. And apparently over 16 or was it 20-something times, the American president, Bill Clinton at the time, flew to Pedo Island, as they call it, Jeffrey Epstein's private island, where he brings some famous people around the world in order to give them everything their hearts could desire, their evil, depraved hearts, on what they call Pedophilia Island. Hollywood Gates of Harvey Weinstein shows the entire Hollywood industry is rotten to the core. And insiders like Brad Pitt have exposed. Yes, child abuse is completely normal. It's written in, it's there. And you can get the documentation if you just want to Google some of the exposés, for example, on Steven Spielberg and his paedophilia and all this. Harvey Weinstein, Steven Spielberg, the whole bunch who run the Hollywood industry, they're a bunch of sexual perverts. They are as vile as they come. And they have been degrading people throughout the world. And yet you've got people today who want to condemn to hell previous generations, centuries ago, who fought against slavery and ended it. But they still want to damn them to hell because it existed in their time. But they've got no problem with us living in a time of Red China's slave industry, Hollywood's abuse industry, and they've got no problem with the slavery going on today. So what we are seeing today is a disgraceful silence. The silence is actually consent. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of depravity. For by whom a person is overcome, by him he is also brought into bondage. That's 2 Peter 2:19. The Spirit of the Lord, sovereign Lord, is upon me, Jesus said at the beginning of his ministry. The sovereign Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to them who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Instead of shame, you will have double honor. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. And so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Now that is the messianic psalm in Isaiah 60 verses 1 to 11, which our Lord Jesus quoted at the beginning of his earthly ministry in the synagogue in Capernaum. He has come to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to those who are bound, to heal the brokenhearted, to comfort those who mourn, and to proclaim the day of the vengeance of our Lord. To love God is to hate evil. And may God forgive us for not hating evil enough. We to proclaim liberty throughout the land. That verse from Leviticus 25 verse 10 is on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, which is meant to be symbolic of America's Declaration of Independence. Proclaim liberty throughout the land. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Lies bring bondage, the truth sets free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. By God's grace, we must preach the good news to the poor. We must bind up the brokenhearted. We must proclaim freedom for the captives and release for the prisoners. We must comfort those who mourn and provide for those who grieve. Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We need to rebuild civilization on the Bible. We need to restore God-honoring laws and renew Christian vigilance. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If there's not liberty, obviously the Spirit of the Lord is absent. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Let us pray. Lord God, we want to thank you and praise you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. We want to thank you, Lord God, that you came to set the captives free. And we pray, Lord God, that you forgive your people for being silent about the greatest evils that are going on, tolerated and even celebrated in our societies today. When the wicked rule, there is grieving. And where you judge the wicked, there are shouts of joy. Help us, Lord God, to love you more and to hate evil more. Help us, Lord God, to love those, our neighbors, maybe even strangers, who are enslaved today. Help us, Lord God, to work for full freedom today, for we pray it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.